Welcome everyone to the Soul Savage Show right here on Studio W The Buzz. Welcome our listeners around the globe. This is It's the Soul 70 Show with your host, EB and Q Lynn Green. EB, Q Lynn, what's up?
What is going on, Will?
Oh, man, that was a smooth jam. That was smooth.
If y'all didn't know, we're playing classics from a legend all show. So if you're a Karen White fan, get ready because we got some hits coming all show. I feel like we should already get started because I'm so excited about our special guest we have coming on. If you saw social medias, we've been talking about it since yesterday. We have a legend on the radio with us right now. She's a Grammy-nominated hit-making since, you know, it's just crazy how many hits. Had three hits for one album. Successful singer, songwriter. I'm just going to say it. Karen White is on the radio show right now, people. I'll give it up right now.
Wow.
I'll give it up.
This is incredible.
How are you doing?
Hey, I am awesome. How are you guys doing? I've been listening. Y'all been grooving.
Yes, we got to play the hits. It's something that needs to happen. And we're going to have it coming on show. So we got to get it ready. We got some old stuff to talk about, some new projects you're working on. We're going to get into that a little bit after the break. But, EB, if you want to start first, I have my questions. I know you got yours. So however you want to do this, you can go first if you want to.
All right. So, Miss White, what a pleasure this is. This is crazy.
This is dope.
It's crazy. My first question for you, actually, I'm glad we played Love Song at first. Is there a story behind that song? Like, how did that song come to be? How did you and Babyface decide to do that duet for the first album?
Okay, well, there is a story because this was the last song we recorded off of the Karen White debut album, and I wanted to, I actually started my career with a soul singer called O'Brien, and I'm sure you guys remember him.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you and I.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you and I, and I'm freaky, and all.
Yeah, that's it.
Soul dreams are coming. So anyway, he started my career, and I, you know, wanted to pay homage back to O'Brien, so I actually told Faith, I was like, well, he said, I got a duet, and you know, and I was thinking, ooh, O'Brien. So he's like, nah, me and you gonna do it. I said, oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah, so, I mean, it was great, you know, working with him, and he hadn't even put out yet his Tender Lover album, which was, you know, became huge for him. So it was dope, just, you know, we had a chemistry at that time, and it was just, you know, that was one of my favorite songs because it used my low tone of my voice, which I love to sing in. I love my lower register. So I loved it.
Wow, that is amazing. That's my favorite song of all time from you. And I was like, I know there has to be a story behind this song, and I've never heard anybody talk about it, so I'm glad to get that. Now,
yes.
I'm big on writing and background vocalist, and I know you, first question is, you wrote one of the first songs from Rachelle Pharrell's debut album, Can You Come Back to Me?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, man.
Karen, why did you not keep that to yourself? I want to hear you sing that. That is a beautiful song.
I can only blame myself. I mean, to think that someone, I mean, that was, let me tell you guys, I was obsessed. That was a time period. I mean, I love Luther, and I love male vocalists, period, because one of the things I try to pride myself on is, you know, having my own style. I don't really want to sound like another, especially not another female artist. So I would always, you know, listen to Al Green, Luther, and I was during that period, it had that kind of feel to me. Luther did Any Love. And so I love to write songs. And sometimes, you know, it wasn't quite for me at the time. But, you know, she loved it. And, of course, you know, come on, the girl is sick. You know, Rachelle Pharrell, come on. She's, you know, just a jazz, you know, icon at that. I think she had done, you know, she was
doing jazz at that time, and I just her range was incredible. You know, how she goes up super high, super low. I mean, it was just a, you know, I was, like I said, very just wanted her to do it because I thought she was an incredible artist, and she is. So she's amazing.
Wow. So you've written for Michelle Pharrell, Stephanie Mills, Johnny Gill. Do you have a favorite song that you've written?
Favorite song that I've written, probably it hasn't really come out yet. One of my favorite songs, and this is funny because I got to write with the iconic, legendary Carol Bear Sayer and Burt Bacharach. And, you know, they're the ones who did all the, do you know the way to San Jose? All the stuff of, you know, Dionne Warwick, that catalog. So I remember writing with them, and there was just some songs that I wrote with them. And I'm like, man, I would really love to get a hold to the vault and, you know, release those songs now because they're just timeless. And writing with them, you know, I was too young. Back then, I was thinking, oh, you know, this is too old for my brand. I didn't realize that was, you know, timeless music. You know how you're young. You're
stupid.
And I was like 19. I didn't really get who I was writing with. But today I'm like, I got to try to get a hold of them to see if they have those songs because they're just, you know, it was just some of the most beautiful melodies and lyrics writing with them. It was just, you know, that was an incredible, incredible accomplishment.
Wow, Burt Bacharach. That's crazy. Yes. I never knew that.
Yes. I don't think I've really talked about that, told that story too much. So you guys have got an exclusive.
There we go.
So young, though, to be doing that is wild.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you guys, my career has really, I mean, it's just been incredible. The people I've been around and just the most brilliant minds. And I think I was just so young. I took a lot of it for granted, and growing up in Los Angeles, you know, at 16, working with Switch, I was in a group called Legacy and South Central Group, and the drummer for Switch was the one who put the group together, and so that's how I started, and I mean, we loved Switch for their, you know, just, you know, their music, they were incredible. So starting out then with O'Brien, Don Cornelius, Jeff Lorber, Jimmy and Terry, L.A. Babyface, Benny Medina, these are some of the people that, you know, I've just, you know, that had the pleasure of just learning and growing from. So I took a lot of stuff for granted, honestly. And I just, as I look back on it, I'm like, wow. And that's kind of what happens when you come out and you don't really have a reference. Even Stephanie Mills, that was my first song that I ever wrote that got covered was the Stephanie Mills song. And I was like, I think maybe 17 or 18 then. So it's just, now that I look back on it, I'm like, wow, God, I was really just really, you know, had a really great start. And I feel like I got wore out because, you know, I left the business for 17 years because I was grinding when I was like 8 years old. I was like a promoter putting together, you know, talent shows and groups. And so I've always had, you know, hunger and knew that I wanted to be in this business. So anyway, I'll let you guys answer questions,
but
I can keep
going. No, you're fine, because I was you're perfect. I was going to ask, I want to go back. I want to go a little bit back and talk about your upbringing in church. And you talked about your range and your lower range, how you like that. I want to know, what was it being in church, finding that range, finding your tone, finding your voice, and then, I guess, transitioning from singing in church to knowing you could go out on the road and do records. And then I don't like saying secular because I feel like that's such past tense. I don't like when people bring that up with secular because it's all the same thing. It's all R&B, blues, gospel. It's all the same thing, same chord.
Right.
So,
right.
I just want to know, in terms of your upbringing, when you found your range and what was that moment to where you were like, okay, I can do this in terms of music industry wise, and bringing what you were brought up in church, learning, how'd you take that to, you know, in the music industry, getting your first record deal?
Oh, okay. This is really funny. This is a funny story. Okay. I've never told this one either. Okay, so my grandmother, she had a holiness church in Watts. And she had maybe like 13 people that attended this church, right? And so that's where I kind of started. I mean, I took a little bit of piano lessons, but it was just kind of crazy because she would be like, okay, you can play, you know, sing, you know, get on the piano. And so I'm like 7 and 8, not really even knowing how to play the dang on song. So I had a really crazy experience growing up in the church. So, you know, I would just sing, you know. So it was, so after that, which is very funny because it's like, whoa, what was I playing? I don't even know. But so after that, you know, I went and joined the church and, but my mother was, you know, choir director and my father played trumpet. And so I just, like you said, it's all, you know, it comes from blues and soul and rock. And so for me, you know, I just, you know, you use all of your strengths and, you know, church was all about emotion for me. I would sing and, you know, my mother would be shouting and I would be shouting at a young age. And so I knew that, you know, I knew that I felt, first of all, it just felt great to just really be honest musically. And that's what gospel teaches you because, you know, you're not performing to do that, you know, if you're letting the spirit move through you. And so from, you know, singing and then singing songs like Superwoman where, you know, at the end there's this big climatic, you know, it's a lot of emotion in the way I sing. And so I thank God I used that. And then I also did pageants. Stephanie Mills was my artist that I, you know, looked up to. And, every time I would sing her songs, I would win these talent shows home. And so I just, you know, growing up in Los Angeles was amazing because I had a platform to be able to do all of these things and I could dream and really feel like it could come true. And, I just, like I said, I had the most amazing childhood and, I just, you know, loved singing and had been doing it since I was super young.
Wow. And then going with that, I want to ask the influences. I feel like cause I'm a musician, so my ears are trained and I just like listening to singers and I like hearing the influence, their influences through the music. And I hear so much jazz, I hear so much R&B, but it's uniquely, I can tell your voice from anybody, you know, when you put on one of Karen White's records. So I wanted to know, what is your Mount Rushmore as a music, like your four, your influences? What is those four Mount Rushmores?
You said what my influences are. Well, I'm back
Mount,
then.
Your, because, right.
Oh, okay, my influences. Back then, big Stevie Wonder, Al Green, Michael Jackson, of course, Dinah Ross, Gladys, Shaka, Denise Williams. I did
there we
that
go.
On Superwoman. And you can hear a little bit of Gladys at the end of Superwoman, too. And Nat Nicole. My goodness, yes. The whole, you know. When I think of it, you know how melody. Yeah, so those would be some of my influences back then. And Stephanie Mills, of course. And then as I got older, you know, Prince and definitely the funky side, James Brown. I mean, Tina Turner, old Tina. still Al Green. I got different sides to me. There's like this, you know, funky, real edgy, raw side, which I love, which you'll hear me. You know, if you come to my concert, you'll probably be like, oh my God. Like, I'll go into this whole, you know, Tina Turner thing that I love because I love to be wild and just leave it all on the floor. So there's just those different sides. And my band, pretty much, my whole band came, a lot of them came from the whole Prince camp. And then when I married Terry Lewis, you know, going with the whole jam, you know, that whole sound of Minnesota. So that's a big part of what I love, too. I grew up on that sound, which was really, you know, special and funky. Make funk, you know.
Yeah. Oh, man. I have so many. You're like, really getting into, like, a lot of questions I want to ask you. Oh, my God. I want to go with your first album, your self-titled debut album. It was produced, I know you're on the credits as well, songwriting credits, and it was mostly L.A. and Babyface, Hillary, the baby mm-hmm. face, that produced mm-hmm. the whole thing and written it. I wanted to know, I hear stories all the time. I heard Babyface tell stories about working with artists and getting into what kind of record they want to make, but I want to know the process in terms of, I want to say how many takes it would take to do those songs, especially with The Way You Love Me. I want to know, like, how long did it take to make that record? Like, was it a one and done, or did it have to be, like, multiple times you had to do that?
That one was probably one of the fastest songs for some reason, thank God.
Wow.
But that was very easy to sing. But what wasn't very easy to sing was Superwoman. I mean, I did that because, I mean, I don't think I, being so young, I was only 23 and 24. What the hell did I know about really what a superwoman was? I used my mother as a substitution, you know, having her, you know, grow up in a single family home, seeing her persevere, you know, just being every bit of a superwoman. So I really drew from her. But at first I couldn't find, you know, I couldn't find my voice in it to where it was truthful. Because of course you can sing, but to me, you know, you want to, are you believable? You know, are you this person? And so that, but, you know, that took a while. But I mean, L.A. was who I work with because me and him have more of a chemistry more so than Faith because I'm, like I said, I'm kind of wild and crazy. And L.A. matches more of my personality.
And he took more into the funk side, like you said, the funk. That's probably why because I remember reading his book and he was saying his influences was straight up like James Brown. And he always had those funky drum programming on, I think, any record he had, like, whether it was you or Tony Braxton, it was always that drum programming that mm-hmm. was, like, heavy with the drums on there, and it was real funky, so I think that's what it was. But, Superwoman, I don't know what it is about that song. It's an anthem, for sure, but it's, like, everything about that song is perfect with the harmonies, with the background, and it's, like, your ad-libs are crazy. So did you implement all of that yourself, or was that written, or they just tell you to, like, go on and
do it? No, they don't tell me what to do. That's the, you can't, like, that kind of emotion, you know, got to be, that's truthful. Now, of course, the verses, you know, there's a structure, but that's where, you know, that's the artist. It should be, because that's a personal out-of-body experience. And so when I was singing, that's, you know, when I got to the end of that, it was, you know, just pretty much, like I said, thinking about my mother and just, you know, that's where I went to church. But, but working with L.A., you know, like I said, he was, you know, he would curse me out and say, you know, okay, you cute today or are we singing? Like, because, you know, this ain't moving.
Right.
You know, he would curse me out and at that time, we would go, what was it, Paradise 24 back in the day. So we'd go take a little break, go hit up a club, and then, you know, come back and get it cracking. The great thing about them is that, you know, I love the fact that most producers probably would have said, well, we don't want to go over budget. Because, you know, with every artist, you have a budget. And so if you go over, if you're like me, spending all this time in the studio doing all these different vocals, it's cutting into their profit. But, you know, they didn't care. It was really, they knew that they had something special, and, it, you know, they bet on themselves. They were like, you know, we don't care if we don't make any money on the front end. We know, we believe in, you know, what we're putting out. And they had the Midas touch. Of course, we all know that. I mean, they wind up, 100 songs, top 10 songs that Babyface and them had. So, I mean, I was just glad to be a part of that wave and glad to be. That song was such a separator for me because I could do the up-tempos and I would be compared to Jody Wadley and Janet Jackson and who else at that time, Vanessa Williams and Pebbles. But once that song came out, that was like, boom, just a separator because I was, you know, it was an anthem and it was a, you know, a song that totally, you know, endeared me to international artists where, you know, women all over the world were affected by this song. And I'm like, wow. I mean, it was, you know, like I said, being so young, I had no idea really what kind of effect the song would have. So I was blessed that they that they thought that I was a superwoman to sing that song.
Oh man, and that's so crazy about that is that, I think, the TV show Martin had, I think they celebrated their 25th anniversary this year. I don't know the exact date, but I know for sure, like, one of the early episodes of the, like, first season, they had your song, Superwoman, as the title song, and they based the theme of that song around that episode. And so that was in there, too.
Oh, yeah. My God. You're just telling me something I never, ever knew.
Really? You didn't know that? Oh, man. And that's how most, I think, growing up in that generation, the ones that's like mid-20s, late-20s, I know that's how I tracked back. I already knew who were, because I had all the cassette tapes and all the CDs of all the artists you named that was around during that time. I had all those. But that episode of Martin, it's called Superwoman. You can, I don't know if it's on YouTube or search it or whatever, but yeah, they based that whole song around an episode. Martin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely. And let me tell you this shout out to, what's his name? Bentley Evans. Okay. Bentley Evans is the creator of the Martin Show, and I went to high school with him. So I never knew that. So I'm going to definitely make sure I inbox him on Facebook and tell him to send me that episode.
It's called Superwoman. I don't know what episode it is, but I know it's in the first season. And I just remember that. And I don't even remember titles like that, but that one I remember specifically. Cause it was, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the Karen White song. And they made a whole show about that song.
Wow.
About the theme of that song.
Oh, okay.
So, oh my God, I have so many questions. I just want to know with, like you said, I think this one we go to break real quick and play something from, this new soundtrack you have, motion picture soundtrack you have. But I was going to ask, like, you named all those artists, like Pebbles and Vanessa Williams, all those during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loaded question. I want to know, you said that you didn't, in the beginning, you didn't appreciate it, but in that moment, did you realize, like, with all those superstars around, did you realize the magnitude of what the 80s were during that time period with every female artist that were, I guess, I wouldn't say compete, but I guess that were around when you were there. Did you feel the magnitude of how big that was?
Wow. I mean, I did feel the magnitude because it was an incredible time. And like I said, I love the fact that all these artists, you know, have their styles and sounds and videos were very popular back then and all these, you know, the images, and that was really important. So I feel Janet. Come on, I mean, we all love Janet Jackson. I mean, I felt Michael. I mean, that was such an iconic time, and I definitely did feel the, you know, the love of just the whole music scene at that time. So I don't feel like when I say I didn't appreciate it, it's just when I look back now.
Right.
Like then I thought I was. You understand? It's just with wisdom when you look back at it, you go, oh, that's why you didn't, because, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I appreciate it. This is an amazing time that, you know, that's just the music was on fire at that time.
Yes, and I love that. I just want to mention this before we go to break. I love that you have, like, I like when I look back on album credits, like your first album, and see, like, actual background singers on the album.
Because
that's so, like, rare. I know it's coming back in some form. Like, I remember Tyrese's album that came out, he had Jennifer Hudson and Tank, like, already established artists on there. But it's so rare now, but I love that it's sort of coming back now in soul music, because that's, like, a lost art, I think, is, like, real live instrumentation and real background singers on records. But, yeah, I love that you have, like, I look back on your records and I could see them on there. I could always go back with that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I said that was my last one before we went to break, but one just popped in my head. You started out background singing for Jeff Lorber.
Oh, Jeff Lorber. Jeff
Lorber.
Jazz fusion artist. I mean, I started out singing background for a bunch of people. Let me see. It was O'Brien, and then I sang Jeff Lorber. He is a jazz fusion artist, and I sang a song called Facts of Love, which that's how I was able to get signed to Warner Brothers. And then after that, I sang background for all kind of people, Sheena Easton, Commodores. I mean, I was a background singer, so I really, I love, that's why I'm like, the fact that you appreciate background artists, I do too. And I love, you know, Cindy Mizell and some of, you know, Luther's background singers are probably like,
yeah,
you know,
Lisa Fisher. Yeah.
Lisa all Fisher, of them. Exactly. Yeah. Just the most incredible background singers. So shout out to all the beautiful background singers. Huh, hold down the artists. I love it.
Hey, background singers. That's right.
No.
Yeah. What we're going to do right now, we're going to play a song from this new movie soundtrack of Karen White, part of this motion picture, Gale in the Storm. It's called, this one we're playing is called Lame Excuse, and this one I really love.
Oh,
so if Will's ready, you can cue that up. This is get these vibes going.
Yeah.
Right here on The Buzz with the incomparable Karen White. We'll be right back.
First you say you want me right away, then you don't come through when you say. You always telling me you want my time, but I think you just wanna play. I'm not your little girl, you won't catch me slipping. Keep on playing me, boo, I'll be dipping out. You keep saying to me,
real good. No more lame excuses. That's the incomparable Karen White, best known for her R&B singles, Superwoman, Secret Rendezvous, The Way You Love Me, and Billboard's Hot 100 number one single, Romantic. She became the first female artist to have her first 3 solo releases hit number one. Hey, welcome back, Karen White and E.B. and Q-Lan.
And that right there, I'll tell you, that bass line. Oh my God!
Wait a minute, girl. You know,
that
I'm like,
I'm a musician, so when I hear that, it's like that simplistic, like that's what I love about songs now, like that keep it simplistic and let like everything groove. That's what the rhythm section is, it just groove. And that bass line just is crazy, and the melody is smooth, and it's nice. The way you flow on that is crazy. It has my attention from beginning to end. So.
Oh my god! Wow, you got a great ear. I love your ear.
Well, because I'm a musician. I've been professional music for 10 years, and so I'm a journalist and also a musician. So when I'm listening, when I'm writing reviews and stuff, I be sitting there listening to music. I'm like, yo, I can't wait to play this. I gotta throw this in a set or something. When I get the band together, I'm like, yo, we gotta do this. We definitely gonna try to mix this in with something. We go with some classic stuff because this one jams all the way through.
Wow. You know what? I definitely want to make sure I'm going to definitely test your ear. I'm going to be like, do you like this? I love it when I find somebody that I feel like has a great ear. Because let me tell you, what that is really, you know, that's Boosty.
All the way. Yeah.
What was that Boosty? I can't even think of it. What's the one song? Like, you know, I heard Childish Gambino's, you know.
Red Ball, I'd Rather Be With You.
I'd Rather Be With You.
I only want to sing because I'm like, this is a real singer. And I'm like, I do background vocals sometimes at a gig, but I'm just background. I don't do lead vocals. So I was like, I'm not gonna mess it up. So I was like, but I'd Rather Be With You. That bass line is groovy, and that song it's got my attention from beginning to end. It's from the motion picture soundtrack, Gale in the Storm. I want to know a little bit about that and how you got into this soundtrack, and is this a project? How long have you been working on this?
Gale in the Storm, bringing back the funk. First of all, let me say what this movie is about. It's about it's loosely based on my life, loosely, but it's about a legendary funk singer who steps away from the business at the height of her career, and she meets a down on his luck music producer who had the same, you know, similar fate, and he winds up seeing her at a party. She sings, he tries to get her back in the business, is also helping him rediscover his passion for music along the way, and so they just go on this adventure, and you know, she doesn't want to be in the business, so it's really cool how they you know, talks about the state of the music industry today and just how they build their brand and their buzz, and then the Storm is the band, so my name is Gale Storm. So I love the fact that this character was kind of like a Chaka Khan type of flash. I don't know if you heard of this funk singer. Her name is Bette Davis. She used to be married to Miles Davis.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm playing like that eccentric, funky character. So when you see these live performances, I'm like, remember that wild side of me? I love it because I get to be just, you know, just as wild as I want. Nobody can say nothing. This ain't Karen White. This is Gale Storm.
Oh, my God. And what you said about you, so I hear all the passion about you performing live, and that's what I feel like. I think a lot of these, not to single out any new artists, but I feel like that's what I think most of them miss, and they don't have that discipline for the road. And I think in general, I think that, people depend on the record sales, but I'm like, they're not, in my perspective, I think that once it started shifting to where black music was just people banking off of black music to just make the charts, and they categorize it in urban AC and R&B, and I feel like they've done that for so many years, and I feel like now they just categorize it in that. And it was a time where R&B wasn't a pop format. It was charted on the pop chart, but now that's not, it happens so, but it has to be somebody in mainstream to pull that. But I feel like that's why the album sales are not where it's at, because they stopped putting black music and marketing it the right way. Soul music, I'll just say soul music, whatever you want to call it. They haven't put that, and that's why. I feel like that's just my perspective. I feel like that's the reason why they keep talking about album sales and trying to find new ways. I feel like it's just that they just have stopped marketing it. They just put it in urban AC, adult contemporary, like just in that space instead of just in pop music as well. Because, like I said, I'm a musician. I'm an MD, and I like mixing different songs. And I remember doing a corporate gig, and it's nothing. Me and my band was probably like, we got like five-piece band of black people, and the whole room is just is non-black people. And I mixed in. I was playing like Steve Winwood. We were going home and playing everything. And I played The Way You Love Me, and they loved it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm trying to figure out how it was just marketed in R&B when white people love R&B music too. Like, some of them know R&B better than I do.
Oh, like, exactly.
Right. But I just want to know your perspective. Do you think it's shifting back? I feel like it's shifting back. R&B and soul music is shifting back. The balance is coming back. But do you feel as though the marketing should be shifted too?
I am so confused with what is going on with mainstream. I'm an independent artist, so I don't even play in that world because I can't even compete. I'm not, you know, on a label. I'm on my own label, Karen Wright Enterprises, and it's a big difference. You know, the reason why I do music now, you know, success is being able to do what you love and to be able to make a living from it. So I'm not even playing those chart games because I don't even know how to, you know. I'm just building my fan base, and, you know, I left the industry for 17 years. So for me coming back, I look at it as like, you know, it's just a whole new frontier because the world became smaller. I'm able to target all of my, you know, South Africa, London. I'm selling CDs all around the world. So I'm just doing my own thing. I don't really know, but I do know. I talked to my ex-husband Terry, and he's telling me, you know, about, you know, he said, boy, I just had, you know, they did New Edition's Can You Stand the Rain? And he's like, we had 85 million, I think it was downloads, and our check was like less than, you know, $10,000. So I do know that something has got to change in this business because, you know, like you, I mean, in Can You Stand the Rain, that's a big crossover hit. I don't really know where music is. I'm just confused. So you would have to school me on that. So
I think what you said was perfect with independent. I feel like that what the real thing is that major labels are paying attention to independent labels and seeing these younger artists that, like Chance the Rapper, for example, he doesn't have a major record label deal, and everything he created was from, like you said, performing live, and he built the audience from that. And they're offering this many, but he's like, no, I'm not taking that. So I feel like they always been loan companies, but I feel like that's all their existence is now, is just being a loan company for merchandise and for touring. But I feel like that's the only thing, because as long as you got a PR team and a management team, like, you're good. Like, you don't really need a record label.
You don't.
A major one to do that. Right. So, yeah.
But let me say this, too, because I believe what I'm doing right now, and I'm speaking to mainly my legendary artists, because a lot of us feel thrown away, or like, you know, we don't have a place in the industry now because if we're not charting, you know. But I want to be, what I'm doing right now is I'm showing people that, you know, you build your fan base, you target your fan base, and you know, we're not trying to reach everybody. I can't play that radio game. I don't have, you know, the hundreds of thousands to put on radio to try to go, you know, top 10. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I love the fact that you can take the business into your own hands. And if you do have a fan base, you build it. And it's something, you know, like you said, these record labels, you're going to get dropped. I mean, they're not developing anybody. You got to come already. Mm-hmm. You know, with hits, and if you don't have another hit, believe me, there's no loyalty, because in the game now, it's just about, you know, what can you sell records or not? So they're not developing anybody. So, and I actually had a conversation with someone on Facebook last night. They were like, wow, Karen White, I was listening to your catalog, and I feel like they dropped the ball. Like, if they would have released certain songs on your record, you would have been way more, you know, I think it would have been a bigger, you know, superstar. And I said, you're exactly right. Because I was a part of that, where I kind of screwed up. I used to be managed by Larkin Arnold, the famous Larkin Arnold, who was the president of CBS, who signed Sade, Luther, Natalie.
He
made a deal with Michael Jackson, like if he sold over so many copies that he would get paid on it. He's paid. He's, you know, it's a brilliant. He was my attorney, and then when I didn't, for my second album, I went with a white boy who, you know, he's the one who created you know, He Had No Doubt and George Michael, and, you know, I was trying to go pop. And that was the worst thing I could have done, because we started releasing records like, you know, The Way I Feel About You from the second album, Romantic. And I had all of these great R&B classic songs, but I was so busy trying to cross over, and he thought I was the Black Madonna. And so it really, like, when I look back on it, I'm like, wow, if those songs would have been released, because Toni Braxton came in and she did, where I started changing, she, you know, Ellie and Faith developed her, and all of those songs that would have been mine, you know, was hers. So it's a trip at how, like, you know, you're chasing, you know, this pat thing. And I just, you know, I would want to tell, if there's any artists out there, definitely be true, you know, be true to what you're, you know, building a fan base and a career of people, and not just looking at it as a temporary, you know, I have a hit, because that doesn't last, you know. Like, you want to be able to sing these songs forever, and you look at, like, you know, you want to have an evergreen catalog to where, you know, like Denise Williams, Free, you know, and, you know, Silly, and then you just, this, some of these songs are just timeless. So that would be something that I would, you know, say, just to stay true who you are, and don't get caught up in chasing pop. Shiny stuff.
Oh, right. Shiny look, oh, man, you said everything perfect. I think I just have two more questions, and that's it.
Oh,
I was going to say that I was going to get back into your live performances. You said, because I'm on the funk wave, and so I love, when you said that, my eyes just lit up. I was like, oh, my God, I got so many questions. Okay, in terms of your live performances, see, I'm a musician, and so I'm, like, really, like, particular about certain things. So I want to know, I feel like, the communication between lead vocalist and if you have an MD or somebody over the band or musician, I want to know, like, what kind of direction you like your band to go. Like, are you complete control of that, or do you let, you know, what's the vision in terms of, like, how you perform, like, you live, how you want it to sound and transition the songs? Like, do you have creative direction over that, or...
Heck yeah. First of all, my band is funky as hell, and they're the coldest. You know, Derek D.O.A. Allen is probably the best, funkiest bass player ever. Look him up, Derek D.O.A.
He played with Prince, right? Prince, he was with Prince's band, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't.
Or it was a Minnesota band. Okay.
Yeah, but he played with The Time at one point.
Okay, that's what it was. That's what it was. I was like, it was somebody in that way. Okay.
Yeah, and my ex-husband he's like Prince today. I mean, he's incredible guitar virtuoso. So you got to imagine, like, that's, you know, my drummer was Earthwind & Fire's drummer. So I come from, like, these were all the people that was with me when I was 24. So I was never, and we all came from, like, that Sheila E., Eddie M., Prince song. I mean, so... band is like my whole, when I'm on stage, I'm like, you know, everybody stop on the one, bam, I mean, I'm in control, hit me 20 times, bump, they better watch me, I know what I want, I'm an entertainer, and I don't, my thing is that I don't want to do the same show 20, the same time, for me it's boring, I really, you know, I let, you know, the music, it feels different days, so I may be like, no, let's just go around. That's why I hate doing track shows, and I'm missing out on a lot of money, you guys, not doing them, but I just feel like they don't move me, and I don't want to be stuck in a box. If I want to talk at the beginning of Superwoman and give my whole testimony and then come in with the, ooh, 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 I mean, it's just too, I love being organic, and when you draw from, you know, when you say, so when my musicians love me and they hate me because I'm a Libra. So I can't make up my mind. So I'm coming in one day, I'm like, I heard this arrangement that Maxwell did. I want to try this, and I love this thing that Tony did. And so I'm always trying to evolve and be better. And
wait, you just said that makes me think. Wait, is this before you give them the actual what you want to play, you change it, like, right after you change it during practice?
Yeah, I mean, I'll change it during practice, but I don't, they know to follow me. Like, these cats train, you know. And
they're trained discipline, right.
And, you know, Sheila E., that's another person who's ridiculous. I mean, my band played with her, so I would go to her rehearsals, and a lot of my, you know, seeing Sheila command a band. I mean, who was... who was, no females were doing that. She was, you know, she,
right,
her and Tina
exactly.
Marie, who I love Tina Marie too, they were musicians. And so I,
right.
you know, that's what I learned from not just being a singer and my background singers. You know, I'm not one of these people that don't let their background singers shine. You know,
oh, man.
My background singers, they're colder than me. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
So as far as I'm like, have at it, you know.
And you know what? You know the reason why? You're probably a great leader then. They love following you because you're, like you said, you're an entertainer. You've been in business for this long because it's people, mm-hmm. I'll tell you now, it's these young ones now. Like, I ain't going to say no names that I play for. I'm like, don't you ever clap at me. It was one that just, like, tried to clap at me. I'm like, all right, I quit. So it depends on who it is. Dependent.
Tell me again. They tried to question you?
No, clap. Like, he would clap us into the key. Like, E flat, and he would clap, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. This is my last gig. That was when I was real young and was just taking any backing touring a gig I could get, but I'm more established now. But back then, that was like some young, like the ego and arrogance was there. But yeah, you don't seem like you have any of that. So it's like they respect where you move and where
yeah.
you go with that. That's dope. I want to go see a show live now because I'm
oh,
you said
yeah,
fall, and I can't wait to go now.
Yeah,
anywhere,
yeah,
LA or Dallas, I'm going.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to bring you up too.
Oh, man, don't bring me up because I'm not going to solo. I will do a drum solo or something or piano solo
exactly.
or something.
Exactly, but don't you think like I said, let me tell you, I'll give you a little story, right? But sometimes I had these young people perform for me this past summer, and I felt like they were probably like, I'm colder than her. And they were just like, first of all, they didn't even know the parts as a background singer.
Oh, that's awful. No,
you know,
you got to go.
Tight. They think because
oh,
they're like church girls and they can sing their face off, but I was like, no, boo, you guys aren't even blending. Did you listen to the... But it was
Woo!
Like, wow, they didn't even
they
want
don't
to
know.
Give me my... Wait a minute, girls, they were singing with me. They didn't even really want to give me my respect. It was so weird. I was like, these young, they were like 23, 24. I was like, they are really
disrespectful. You're hitting on everything that I hate about having a certain background, because I hate when I get background church. And I don't care who gets mad to the listeners. We have a lot of musicians and singers that on it. But when it comes to some church singers, I can't work with them because they're the most demanding, yet they don't know no keys, no notes, no lyrics when it comes to rehearsal. So yeah, I definitely feel you on that. I try to bridge the gap. I like being a music director because I like talking to lead vocalists and background vocalists and the musicians because I feel like I could talk to them. But I can see it's real beat. People talk about with musicians and singers that I'm like, nobody talks about. But yeah, I'm getting off on a tangent. I'm getting you all in my musician versus singer tangent. But yeah, we get to, okay, I want to say, I think this is my last one. What do you think, what is your definition of soul music?
What is my definition of soul? Olive greens, black eyed peas.
Oh.
Come on,
Jamie.
That down home cooking.
It's down home. It's in the DNA. Either you got it or you don't. Everybody ain't funky. I'm sorry. It's in the DNA,
right.
baby.
Oh, my God. This has been a blast. EB, you have any more? Because I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with so much information, good information. Do you
That's
have anything
crazy.
Else to say?
I do. Karen, when they did the Soul Train thing for Babyface a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why were
mm-hmm.
you not there? Why were you not there with him?
Okay. So, actually, I just found out the real truth from... I just found out the real tea about 2 weeks ago.
Right. Let's get to it.
Ago. I mean, of course, Fantasia sings her face off. She killed the song. And I love, you know, it wasn't anything deep against her. It was because of ratings. They felt like they wanted to go with somebody that was hotter at the time, and she got fired because it was such a backlash. Because I got like my thing went viral. It's like 2 million people. This thing went viral, and they were like, "Why we wanted to see Karen White?" And she wound up getting fired. So it was someone that was in management that just thought, you know, well, we're going to go with who's hotter now, and you know. you can use Bobby. They use Bobby Brown because, you know, his daughter had just passed. So they were just thinking ratings. And, you know, I hadn't been on the scene. But it was a backlash. Yeah, she wound up getting fired. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, that made me I didn't want the girl to get fired, but I was just, it was just a shock. I was like, wow.
But it was an overwhelming support, though, because I remember that. Thank you, EB, for bringing that up, because I remember specifically that night, because Twitter is, like, the place to go to for, like, live tweeting, like, shows.
Oh, it is?
And so all down my timeline when Fantasia was performing Superwoman, that's all I saw was, like, where's Karen White? Where is she at? Where is she at? All this stuff. And then I remember your video. It did go viral. And I was like, yo, this is, like, opportunity right here. I'm like, if the people see live shows, they know that you were performing and all that stuff. But yeah, how did that feel, that overwhelming support from actual fans that was like really wanting to see you perform there? How did that feel, getting that reaction from everybody?
I mean, it was amazing, because I couldn't have, I mean, I'm just so glad I had the courage, because I wasn't going to do it, because I'm a type of person, I'm like, oh, you know, let it happen. I'm telling my, you know, my partner who I work with, he's like, no, you going to say something. And I'm like, damn it, because I just don't want to say, who wants to get into, I don't want to do that. I'm like, so I had to, but I'm so glad I did, because, you know, it showed people rooting for me, and it made me see how much I was loved. And I just, you know, I believe if I hadn't have done that, I probably could have taken my confidence away. Just that, you know, because that was a huge moment, and it's like, Why didn't I get my chance to sing my own damn song? But the great, let me tell you this though, LaToya Luckett sings it in her, you know, her show. Fantasia sings it. Phyllis Hyman, when she was alive, she sang it. Gladys, Patty, Dion. So, I mean, it was such a great, you know, song. And I just, you know, I was really worried about, because after it was a hit, like, the year after, that's when Patty and Gladys and Dion wore it. I was more worried about them. I'm like, oh, my God. Three legends.
Legends coming back.
They don't steal my song. I haven't even had a chance to be a star in it. But they didn't. And, you know, so it's just, like I said, I'm just, you know, it's just, I'm blessed that I, you know, have the song and that people still remember it today. And, you know, that's what they call me. I'm the Superwoman. They're like, Superwoman? I'm like, that's a dope title. That's power.
You know,
I'm like, that's dope.
Right. And you know what? It's going to happen. It's so many different tribute shows they have. I know certain, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all these different ones. So you might have a chance with some of these producers, songwriters like Babyface, L.A. Reid. They have, you know, BT, they do. They might throw another one. So you never know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to happen. So, yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was just saying I'm glad I'm back in the game, because rightfully I left the business. So, and that's what I wanted to say too, is that, you know, I left my post. So these girls were like, cute. If she ain't singing a damn song, I need a hit. You know, Karen White can't catalog a hit. You understand? So I definitely, you know, being a grown ass woman now, I get it. I'm done.
Oh, it's going to happen. I think, yeah, like you said, you've been gone for so long. I think that was more the reason, because I feel like now, I feel like you're touring, you're doing shows and all that. And I just saw recently you were on Centric. You had a little, I remember watching a commercial and they had a little bit of your, story.
Yes.
You were saying a little bit of that. So yeah, that helps as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I was actually on a sitcom called Beauty and the Baller. So I had because I've been acting. So they showed me Major Love on Centric. They were like, we making up for Karen White. I was like, okay. Thank you.
See, I didn't want to say that, but that's immediately what I thought of. I'm like, oh, they're making up from two.
Yeah,
I didn't want to say that, but you confirmed it.
You know business, girl. You know the music business. I can hear it, and I hear the joy and love that you have, and it's so refreshing. I just want to tell you to talk to you guys. It was so much fun, because I can tell you guys love the music just as much as I do. You love, you know, what you do, so.
Thank you so much. I just want to say the last thing, and then EB can say what he wants. I'm going to say it was a pleasure. It was an honor to have you on this show. We have a legend. I do appreciate your post. I should have did one a long time ago, but I'll say you have one of the most unique voices that ever you're music royalty. You're part of the history, music history, that's important in terms of black singers that were prominent and had their moments and had phenomenal songs, classics that everybody still sings to this day, and still younger generations learning your songs, you know, how many years later. So I want to say we give honor to you. You're a legend. And I'm going to pass it to EB, and I just give reverence to you and say you're a legend, and everything you've accomplished in music, I appreciate it. And yeah, you go ahead, EB.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going to piggyback off of that and say, you know, thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us, not only about, you know, what you're doing now, but going back and explaining, you know, the stories behind some of your music. I know Q-Lynn and I are really big on the stories behind the music, the background vocalists and the vocal arrangements and things like that. So thank you. Like, your influence with the song Superwoman alone, that, like, you've influenced an entire generation of women, of people, and just from everybody from Shawnee to Toni Braxton. Like, you hear that. Like, when I hear them, I hear bits of Karen White and, like you were saying, Stephanie Mills, Natalie Cole. When I hear you, I hear bits of them. So I like when the singer is able to acknowledge those who have come before them and incorporate that influence without biting their style into their music and carrying on that legacy of soul. So thank you so much, Karen.
Well, you better speak on it. I love y'all. Y'all, I mean, I'm so fired up. I'm just glad to know that there are young people out there that, like you said, that first of all can, you know, give respect to legends, because I feel
right.
like, you know, we throw away our legends, and it means a lot to know that you guys are still out there and that you will always, you know, love our music, and that's what we do it for. So I just want to tell you guys I love you. And thank you so much. And you guys, you know, I wish you all the best and success and whatever it is on your journey that you do.
What's a future project we should be looking out for in terms of the, I know the music soundtrack. What else do you have in store for
the movie? The movie.
Okay.
Yeah, Gale in the Storm, the movie. You got to see it because, you know, it's for musicians. You're going to really, not it's for, but, you know, it's a movie.
Right.
Music movie. So definitely make sure you go to KarenWhite.me, KarenWhite, and please sign up on my mailing list, and you'll get to, you know when the movie's coming to your city, or when we drop, you know, the movie online, or just everything going on in my world. God has been great, and I'm producing more TV and film, and so, you know, who knows what we'll be doing together too. I'm going to definitely make sure we keep in touch with you guys too.
Yes, and man, y'all give it up right now. If you're listening in, wherever you are, in your car, you're at home, give it up for music royalty, the R&B legend, Karen White. Y'all give it up right now.
What an incredible interview. Karen, thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, it was fun. Okay, bye you guys.
See you.
Okay.
Bye, Karen.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That was great.
Man, well, if you want to, we could go to break.
All right.
If you're ready, and we could get into... Whatever you want to do, EB, I'm all over the place. I'm overwhelmed.
I can tell. Hey, rarely are you lost for words, Q-Lynn.
There we go. Cue that up. That's the joint right there.
Got
there
it.
We go.
Show us how it works.
Way You Love Me, Karen White. Oh my goodness. And E.B. Q. Lynn. If I may say, what an excellent interview. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That was outstanding.
Yeah, that was amazing.
You know,
it was like overwhelming. It was like all the information. I was just sitting there listening, and it was just like, man, all the, just like when she was talking about that song, and I asked her how long it took, and she said that one was the easiest one. What? And that's like, y'all don't understand how difficult that song is to sing. And she said it only took, it didn't take that long. Really? Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's just people that are just naturally gifted and talented. Like, it's just given, this universe gave them that talent. Cause it's like, nobody can do that effortlessly. And
right.
You just, that's probably the most difficult song. And she said that was the easiest one. What?
Right.
Or I think Superwoman might be close, cause that was a lot. I think emotionally listening to it is like, okay, that's a lot. But with that one right there, I thought that would be like the hardest one
I
to like wrap up.
On TV perform that and dance at the same time. So I'm that was easy. Like, who can do that?
No shade, but it's people that ain't, that today ain't got that much talent in one of their fingers to do that. To stay on beat and sing at the same time. Like, they ain't got enough talent in one pinky to do all that.
That's right.
If she did that easy, oh man.
Right.
That was overwhelming of information and a legend. We had a legend on the show.
Wow.
So,
you know, let me just say this.
Like, somebody I listened to when I was specifically remember like that, like listening to those songs in the car and having that's what I love about this, like having this opportunity to have this brand to like do this stuff to talk to legends. That's pretty much, it's like my cheat code to talk to legends, basically. And just get in their head and figure out how they made these songs, and that's it. And
right.
It's like, and you, the way you think they made it, it's not, and it's like, oh, so you're just basically saying you're effortlessly talented is what you're saying.
That's what
she said throughout the interview. I just naturally am just gifted. That's all I got from that was that.
That's what I got.
Crazy. Yeah, that's about it for me. Like, you're just naturally talented. It wasn't no difficulty, you know. That, man. Crazy. But yeah, go ahead, Will. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just going to say, if she's still listening, but you know, also with all that talent, she also brings grace and class, you know, and dignity. And I was just amazed at how down to earth she was too, you know, and it was really, really cool. A lot of, thank you. That was a great, great interview.
Oh man, it was fantastic. Amazing. But yeah, EB, what you want to do? I said before, it's fragments of my soul still in the bathroom. So, to the listeners, I've been off and on sick for like 2 weeks. I think that trip was like my clear sign of me slowing down and not like going to road. I really don't have to, but I just like doing it sometimes. But yeah, after October, I'm not doing no more trips because, I mean, in terms of gigs, I'm going like, I had an announcement. I was going to, I have this project I'm working on with some musicians, and I can't wait for y'all to look at it. It's going to be visual. We're going to have that out on YouTube. It's going to be fantastic. It's some great sound engineers and some great musicians I'm working with, and I got, like, something special. Because I know I get emails all the time, people asking what I'm going to show me playing, and I got something special. We'll be packaging it a certain way, and I can't wait to show y'all. But, yeah, once I do this, I'm pretty much done and just focusing because I've been slipping on the website because I haven't been posting no album reviews because I've been on the road since, I think the end of August. I've been gone. So yeah, I need to get back on it because I haven't been posting consistently like I'm supposed to. So yeah, I'm not even going to do a show this week because I'm sick. My stomach was doing, I felt like it was 20 bloods like be walking in my stomach all week. And it's just ridiculous. And I literally, today, it didn't end today either. Like, I just finally started feeling good. Like, maybe that was a sign that, okay, maybe the fragments of my soul of earlier this afternoon was enough for me. I don't want to be too descriptive to y'all, but yeah, that was a lot. And it's like, that Chicago trip wore me out. And that gig or whatever that I did the other week, it wore me out. So yeah, whatever you want to do, EB, right now, I'm going with it. So what you want to do right now?
I mean, we can do a little, you know what, let's do some Raggedy People news. Like, we don't have a whole lot, but we can do a little Raggedy People
news. Hey, the less the better, because we're not going to do this every week. Especially, and then I might got a little energy for them, but let's go. Let's see how this goes. Okay.
Yeah, the first is David Mead. He's a pastor and also a numerologist, I believe. And he's saying that tomorrow, September 23rd, is going to be the end of the world. He has studied the Bible and biblical text and numerology, and that is when it's going to happen. So he got everybody on high alert, everybody running around scared that tomorrow is it.
I don't know about the end of the world, but I know it's the end of my stomach problems. I don't know what that is. If he's prophesizing that, hopefully I don't go with a bad stomach. That don't feel good. That's like terrible. Like I gotta be sick and I gotta leave at the same time. What?
Right at the same time.
At the same time. What is his name? What is he? How old is he? What is he? See now?
How old is he? I don't even know how old he is. I haven't seen a picture of him. But I was seeing the stories all week, and you know how you see the stories people post on Facebook or Twitter, and I thought it was like one of those spam things, you know, like one of those bootleg sites. But it's actually some reputable sites. They're quoting him on these prophecies and all this other jazz that he's doing. So,
I wouldn't dismiss what he's saying, but yeah, I say this: if reading the Bible, I know a lot of Christians or whoever listen to the show, but I'll just say, I'll include pastors and bishops in this as well. I don't think anybody knows the real interpretation of the Bible because, for one, it's Hebrew and Greek. Unless you're, like, fluent in Hebrew and Greek, you wouldn't have any idea how to translate that. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're just basing that off of what you feel. Right. Yeah, it's all American. All this was translated through, so unless you were like fluent in that and you have a real understanding, that's my thing with anybody that has declarations of knowing, like being a Bible scholar, like what is your background in like studying Hebrew and Greek?
Right.
Because if
you're
not
in Jerusalem, cool.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, for me, it's just like knowing what that is, like what these words really mean and not trying to get your own interpretation. And that's what most of these different versions of what the Bible is your own, whatever that American writer's, interpretation, that's all it is. And most of that stuff, for me, I feel like the Bible was just, I think, made it cool to, like, worship other faiths. And it talks about that in the Bible, about different faiths coming together to praise God. But my thing is that I don't think it was set up for, you know, to try to make declarations, oh, this is going to happen, and all that stuff. I just feel like the way you treat the earth, if it's going to happen, science tells us is that the way we treat the earth, you could say that's the reason why hurricanes and all these things happen. They want to say it's a god and all that stuff. I just think that people don't treat it right. Like, this is happening because y'all pollute the earth. Like, that's why most of this stuff happens. Not to say I'm a scientist or something like that, but that would just be mine. And most of this stuff, I saw a funny tweet. Somebody said, like, y'all getting so worked up over these hurricanes, and who they say, Bill God, science guy, that told y'all this back in fifth grade, and y'all wasn't paying attention in class.
Me.
I saw that tweet. I thought that was funny. I was like, yep, pretty much. Because, like, if you study science, like, that's why, like, Oklahoma is, like, known. I'm born and raised in Oklahoma, and we're known for tornadoes and stuff. Like, now we're getting known for earthquakes now. That's weird, because we hadn't even had, like, tornado season wasn't even bad. It was, like, mostly cold. That's how you know climate change is real, because during spring, that's all we look for is thunderstorms and tornado warning, and we didn't have none of that. It was cold as hell during wintertime or whatever going from Oklahoma City. So my thing is, and we're getting earthquakes. We're getting known for earthquakes now because they're doing a lot of shacking. That means, you know, drilling for oil and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. That's a whole other subject, though, because they're going to get me on the tyrant off of our our she-devil governor, Mary Fallon, and that's going to go into a whole other subject about her. But, yeah, shacking and drilling for oil, and almost every other day we get an earthquake, like a real one, because they're shacking, like, drilling for oil. It's a statistic out there that we're like the highest ones for earthquakes now, because that's all they do is drill oil here. And we can feel it, like, I'm like halfway past Dallas, and they can, the big one is like in Oklahoma City, and it's like almost 3 hours away, and we can feel it from where Oklahoma City is. That's how big it is. The earthquake is.
That's crazy.
It's like a big bang. But yeah, whoever this guy is, okay, sir, if you just want to have an excuse to take your sleeping pill and overdose or something like that, leave us out of it, whatever you got planned for your life. Don't put that energy on us. So, to that guy, put the alcohol down and get your life together. Stop telling all these stories. So, what else we got?
And then Trump stays on Raggedy People list every week, but this week is kind
of... Oh, my God.
It's kind of funny.
I was going to say that, EB. I was going to say that.
You were going to say that, so, yes.
Go ahead.
It was when he was on stage and... He said something to the effect of, Melania wanted to be here, or really wanted to be here, but she was standing right next to him when he said it.
Right. And oh, she not asked, like, what is wrong with you? Like, get your old ass out of office. You don't even see her right next to you. She need to dress up all the time for him to figure out who is. She gotta be dressed up for him to figure out who she is.
I don't think he needs you there for real. I don't think he cares.
He probably did. He about over 70.
Wow.
Yeah, he's 71.
He got read by that North Korea dictator too. He was like he old. Yeah. He had made it like, man, Trump, y'all be taking it. Trump ain't, he is not taking that man seriously. And Trump ain't gonna do nothing. He ain't gonna do nothing at all. All he doing is trying to get some business done with China, and that's it. Like, it's all propaganda. Like, he ain't gonna do nothing. He ain't gonna do nothing against North Korea. He a sucker. I know a sucker when I see one. See, I'm giving street terms and stuff like that. Like, if we come down to it, when they come with the missiles, they gonna lay off of it. So he just trying to talk. He just trying to talk tough to try to say he the first president to go out, because you know, President Bush and President Obama never, like when they would make those threats, they wouldn't, like, go and, like, feed into it. But he's feeding into it, so and they ain't going to do nothing. He's just trying to be that first president to say, oh, I said something to the dude from North Korea or whatever. Because Trump is so, see, I'm almost getting off on a tangent. See, he getting worked up. But, yeah, who cares about that orange peanut
Yep.
He ain't even a good Kool-Aid. He the orange aid, the one you get at the 99-cent store, like orange aid. Who cares about this spoiled big gal in the Tampico? Who cares? What else we got?
He been drinking Boone's Farm. Q-Land. But see, the thing about it is, you're right. Trump is a bully, and you know how bullies are. You punch him in the nose, and they start crying, right? But... he's messing with this crazy dude over in North Korea. This dude, Kim Jong-un, is not playing. All right?
Oh, he's probably not. No, I'm not saying he ain't playing now.
Oh, he's not playing. So what are you...
We got to keep Dennis Rodman over there all day. Like, I'm mad. He's the mediator between there. Like, somebody is Dennis Rodman on the phone like, hey, it's
right.
Your boy.
Right. and did you hear what Kim Jong-un called Trump? He called him a dotard.
And oh yeah, I saw that earlier.
Right. And
I
so
saw a quote from that.
And so people been Googling trying to find out what that means. Hey, look, this cat knows he's smart, he's intelligent, and as a matter of fact, when he speaks, like, it's direct, he doesn't play around, right? And so, Trump better stop playing with this cat. This guy is crazy. But also on regular people's news, what I want to say about Trump is that his wife gave a speech to the UN. The other day, I don't know when you saw that or not. And she said, check this out. We need to teach our children that bullying, and I'm paraphrasing, bullying is not good. We need to stop bullying people. We need to stop doing this, right? And her husband is the biggest bully in the world. I'm wondering, was she talking to him? Hey, did you see that, EB? EB, did you see that? Or did you hear that? Yep, she said that we need to, and she was talking, just went on this anti-bullying rant. And when she's talking to the world, and that knucklehead husband of hers is sitting right next to her, and he does it every day. This thing is so confusing, and that's raggedy.
Real raggedy.
Yeah, he's absolutely raggedy, so. Yeah, I told y'all he in the Raggedy People news like almost every week. It's always fucking news. This is like the only presidency I know to where it's like you know when Obama was in office, they was always like reporting something stupid. Like when he had on that tan, that beige suit, and they made like a whole thing about it.
A big deal over
there. We go from talking about that to like this dude like actually could possibly do incriminated stuff, and they're like, oh, like they're trying to act like he didn't. Like what? Like, now you so outraged by this suit, but you ain't outraged by this dude, like, possibly committing treason, like, in the White House. Like, what is going on? But yeah, it's already, every week he's in Raggedy People news. I just ignore it. I'm like, and I hate to have that attitude, but I'm like, y'all get exactly, I knew as soon as he was going to get elected, this was the kind of stuff he was going to do, and it's going to happen. Y'all shouldn't be surprised. That's why I was so mad that y'all voted him in, because this is going to be news, like, until he gets out of there.
Oh, well, you
know, deal with it.
Well, you know what?
I wasn't dumb. I knew from a jump what he was about, so y'all could have, the Republicans could have been fooled by what he was saying. I wasn't fooled at all. Y'all got an idiot up there, so that's going to be my go-to saying every week, is that y'all got an idiot in the White House right now.
Oh my God. And let me tell you who's dumb as a turd. That, Donald Trump Jr., his son. Oh my God. What an idiot.
And I told you, he looked like something through werewolf. That is the most unattractive face I've ever saw. Both of his oldest, not the youngest one, so not to confuse people. I'm talking about his two oldest sons. This is the goofiest looking people I ever saw in my life. And they look like something out of a werewolf movie. I don't trust them. And they got goofy looking faces like they daddy. And they just weird looking. They look like beavers and a mix of a werewolf. They ugly.
You know what? You're right too. That other son does look a little bit like a werewolf. All right. And then
they do. They both ugly.
Oh my God!
You can't trust nothing to come out of, like that unfortunate looking face. I won't trust nothing to come out of your mouth, because you ain't nothing but deviltry and lies, and that's it.
Hey, Q-Lin, Evie, check this out. And
that's what daddy full of is deviltry and lies. So you're a carbon copy of them.
You know, all of them look strange. Jeff Sessions, you know, the attorney general with the pointed ears, the short guy, he looks like a Martian. My favorite Martian. You know who I'm talking about?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
That's he knew, though.
They all look weird. Kellyanne Conway. Come on. Hey, look here. You can go on and on. This is the craziest administration I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you. It's outrageous. So I don't know what the hell is going on. And you wonder who's running the White. President Obama, I wish he could have stayed another 4 years. Oh my God.
Right. That's what everybody said. It was like, it was when his farewell was going on. I remember somebody was like, they was like, four more years. And, he was like, I can't do that. And then somebody tweeted, well, have you tried? And they put it in exclamation. And all caps. It was like, well, have you tried? I was dying. That was hilarious. But yeah, what else you got? Hopefully that's all Raggedy People news.
That's,
you got what's some savvy? What's some savvy?
Kevin Hart.
Go ahead. Kevin.
Kevin is raggedy, yep.
Oh, man. They've been talking about this all week. They've been giving it to somebody. I just saw on Twitter just a few moments ago when I casually looked on there. Somebody, he had got some tickets or something from Lion King, and they was like, was he lions or something? I forgot what the joke was. I'm trying to pull it up. It was funny. They was like, oh, you lying? Lion Kings or something like that. It was funny. They're like, oh, you lying now? Or something like that. It was hilarious. It just passed through there. I just thought, I'm going to pull it up again and see if I can see it. But I just saw that joke.
That's funny.
I forgot who retweeted. Somebody retweeted it on my timeline. It's hilarious.
Oh my God.
That is hilarious.
That is too funny.
Said something about, oh, you lying now, huh? That is hilarious. That is hilarious. But what'd you think of it? I don't know. A lot of it. I just know.
The entertainment lawyer
is back again. What is going on? Why is she the go-to for all these scandal stories? What is going on?
Oh my God.
What is her resume? Is her resume on LinkedIn or something? What is going on?
Maybe she specializes in pimps, cheaters, and you know, and okay.
You're an Instagram lawyer. Like, anybody would stand any kind of, she wanted a social media lawyer. You don't even know. She got her law degree from a University of Phoenix or something. What?
Trump University. She got it from Trump University.
Something like that. Where did this lady come from? She be in all the scandal stories randomly.
Oh my God.
I thought that was funny.
Oh, hey, speaking of universities, hey, did you guys hear this story of this white dude? And I believe it was Transylvania University. I hope I have this, or I think I have this right. But who wants to go to a school called Transylvania? Transylvania University, right? He tried to get this dreamer deported. So he started posting stuff on social media and stuff like that, and trying to get this girl kicked out of school. See, this is another thing with this damn Donald Trump, right? And so he ended up getting expelled. He tried to get this girl kicked out of school. But see, what I'm saying is, what has happened with Trump, a lot of these racists have come out of the woodwork now. They feel more empowered, emboldened, right? That they can do some things, you know? And if you notice, tensions are high. People fighting in Walmart every day now. Check it out. You know, people are fighting all over the place. People are more rude because these racist people feel now that they feel more empowered. So, no, seriously, I just thought you guys heard that.
I don't think I have.
It's crazy.
But I'm not surprised.
On one hand, I think it's terrible that, you know, they feel and they know that they can do these types of things and be protected because of, you know, the type of president that we have and the people that we have in government who will protect, you know, this bigotry and this ignorant behavior. But on the other hand, I'm glad that they are feeling, you know, emboldened and they're coming out because I want to see them. I want to know who
they are. You want to know who you are, right?
Right.
I want to know who they are. I want to know who's in the school with the kids. I want to know who's at the courthouse. I want to know who the accountant is. I want to know.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
That's why I'm glad when that whole Charlottesville thing was happening and they saw those saltines out there that was crying out there, crying saltine tears with those tiki torches. I don't know what they were going to do with that.
Right.
You called off from Best Buy to walk around with a tiki torch. Go home, sir. Like, what are you going to do with that? Who's supposed to be scared of that? I'm glad that people online, like, they were making active efforts to, like, blow up their faces. And people are good. Like, they need to hire these people at the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, because they, like, found their Twitters and Facebooks and they people, those their jobs and stuff within, like, minutes. I need y'all to find some relatives of mine if y'all out here doing investigations in sterile. Y'all just found this awful picture. I'm like, golly. Y'all are some investigation.
Oh my God. I'm glad he lost his job.
Investigation experts on the internet. But yeah. Oh, I just found the joke. I just saw it. Hold on, let me pull up again. It was showing a dollar. Larry had said, Kevin and Nico dropped $117,000 on Lion King themed baby shower. And somebody retweeted and said, would there be any cheaters? That is hilarious.
You said cheaters.
Any cheaters.
Yep, I heard.
They spelled it like the animal, but that is hilarious.
Would there be any cheaters? That's good.
That is hysterical. Well, hey, at least she's staying apparently, so that's their business. Like I said before, that is grown folks' business. I think that was kind of, it is very sorry that he did that while she's pregnant, but I think other than that, that's their business. I don't know what's going on in there. Led up to that, so.
And you know,
business, so I'm staying out of it.
E.B. Kulin, can I jump in just for a second? You know, E.B., you said something, that I thought was, profound. And that is, you said you are glad that now these, people are exposing themselves. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. You know, because you want to see who your enemy is, right? And I'm going to tell you a quick story about a minute and a half, real quick. I, one of my businesses, you know, I'm a financial advisor, stockbroker. You know, I do that on, you know, that's another LLC. But anyway, I used to work for a major corporation. I'm not going to give them a plug because they're not paying, you know, in the advertisement on the Studio W. So I'm not giving, I'm not putting their name out. So, but anyway,
okay.
I used to work with a lot of, white guys. Well, yeah, in my office, we were like 10% black. And you're looking at maybe 60, 70 brokers in that office. You know, and that's all the way around the country because, well, that's a whole different story where we don't expose our people to what's in front of us, right? But anyway, I visited, a couple of guys that used to be my friends. These are white guys and they all voted for Trump. And do you know we got into rather heated discussions? Because these guys that I thought that, hey, we were okay, I kind of figured out women hold it. You're okay with this guy that's want to grab women's crotches with it, okay, and no problem with that. They can walk, he can walk in on the Miss America pageant, with the latest half dress. He said, I can do that, but you know, I own this thing right here. And he's talking about walking in on the teenage Miss America pageant. He cheats people. All right. He has, when he built the Taj Mahal, do you know that he hired illegal workers there at $5 an hour? Then he refused to pay them. Do you know how many people he ran out of business out of New Jersey because he filed bankruptcy and a lot of people had lost their business? All right. He said he didn't know anything about Russia, but do you know that he had negotiations going on in Russia to build another Trump Tower in Russia, but he didn't even know them? All right. So I'm, you know, this is so, so absolutely profound. It's so incredible. So these guys, we got into discussions, right? And do you know what they said to me? Well, President Obama did this. Well, President Obama did that. And President Obama should be in jail. And you know, one of these knucklehead clowns, that is supposed to be a high level professional that I know, they just exposed themselves to me. Because I thought that, I'm not saying that we were buddy-buddy hanging out, you know, but I thought we were like, you know, associates, acquaintances, we respected one another. And how can you respect somebody when you really find out? So what it has defined, EB, what you just said, a lot of this is being exposed. So now we can see who we're dealing with.
Right. I want to see them all.
you want to see more.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm serious. These guys, and they're relentless and they're okay. And I asked them, I said, are you satisfied with your president? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then they always talk about, Obama and Clinton. They always deflect, right?
Right.
And I'm saying,
man, they don't know what they're talking about. They just lie wrong.
But you know,
he got the lowest approval rating in history of presidency. He ain't even over 50%. So that they part of the lower percentage that think he's doing a good job. But it's hard to entirely. They already proved that. And then he goes say that was fake news. I'm like, I wish all these different news outlets would quit trying to like do their promo before they start their show. With like, this is the real news. Like, we know this is real news. Like, why y'all feeding into? Because that just makes him happy knowing that they didn't got to y'all when y'all try to act like that. Y'all, like, we know y'all not like the only people that believe that is people that watch Fox News and all they do is go to Walmart and be raggedy. So
okay,
nobody. I mean, not to say everybody go to Walmart is raggedy, but I'm just saying.
Q-Lin, EB. These are crackhead answers. This is the type of answers that a crack addict will give you. Come on now.
Yep.
That mess in hair rods from what the
I'm telling you.
Show.
I'm
not
telling
the heroin, the hair rods. That was from back in the day.
Come on.
What they call it? Smack back then. They on that smack.
Let me ask you a question. Q-Lin and EB, have you ever spoken to somebody that you notice on drugs and they give you these stupid ass answers like what we're getting out of the White House and on down and these Trump supporters? These are crackhead answers they're giving us.
Yeah.
Because it makes no sense. Come on, think about it. And you know, Trump.
I know. You already know. I know.
I'm
you know,
serious.
I told you about that story about them, but yeah. I was just like, man, people get out here with that. Yeah.
Come on.
So what you call it? We're getting off on a tangent. He's tired of Trump.
I'm pissed.
We're on a tangent for like 15 minutes.
Well, EB, doesn't sound like a crackhead.
Yeah.
Don't these people sound like crackheads?
That is.
Okay, alright, I'm gonna leave
they got the new crack. They got the new crack now. It ain't the
80s
crack, it's
a
new stuff.
Oh, it's a powerful
stuff they make in a trailer, in a mobile trailer now. Flammable chemicals. They doing stuff that you ain't, like, they be like, that's on a, that should be warning labels. Like, they do them kind of drugs. Sudafed and stuff like that, like stuff you use on their car, they doing them kind of, like, what? Like, I didn't even know that was a drug. Like, I use this when AC go out. I didn't know you use this when, I thought this was used when the compressor go out. You use this for an AC compressor. You doing this, like, this is the new thing. Maybe on stuff you didn't even know was a drug. I'm like, I thought I put this in the hood. I didn't know this was a drug. Maybe on stuff you didn't even know was a drug. I'm like, what? I was going for a car. What? You about to die, like, right now. This head is not consumable for the body. They like, hey, I'm like, you good. This is for a capacitor underneath the hood. Like, what?
That's
you consuming it like it's nothing. Okay, go ahead.
That's that Kim Jong-un crack. I'm telling you, boy.
Nah, they got that. That's the new age 2017 crack right there. They ain't on the 80s crack. I know there was some crackheads back in the day. They smoke and go to work. These crackheads, now, they can't. They taking in government assistance. It ain't the black folks that's taking it in. They pretty much the welfare queens out here. Statistics show they the real welfare queens. They out here
real fast.
They out here like if they got the new 80s. They on the new 80s track. Like they the new representation of what they said black people was in the 80s. Like, wow. You know it's bad when you see white people like, what's going on with your life? What did Paul Moody call it, a waste of white skin? Like, that's what I be like, that's what I be thinking all the time when I go, I'm like, what a waste of white skin. You had all the privilege in the world to do something and you just ruined it.
Oh Lord. Oh, I'm holding my side here.
Well, yeah, we get off on tangent talking crazy. What's some savvy dude?
I don't know. We're totally out of control. We're totally out of control. Hey, you know, hey, Q-Lent, why don't we do this? While we compose ourselves, why don't I go to another Karen White song and we'll be right back. Is that okay with you?
That's cool with me. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Gather yourself together, Will. Get yourself together. Going into break.
I'll do the best I can. This is the Soul Savage Show. Oh, my God. With the insane Q-Lin Green and EB. And we'll be right back, folks. What a crazy show.
Missing.
White, Superwoman, Studio W, the Soul 70 Show. Oh my goodness, Q Lynn, EB. Do you two have yourself to get? Are you okay now? Are we okay?
Are you okay? You should be asking you that question.
Boy, that
was off on a tangent for like 10 minutes.
Oh. Oh my goodness, yeah. I tend to get riled up sometimes, you know what I mean?
You got to put some more free on in your car, but all you got to do is lift your car for them, and that's how they get off.
Well, I'm telling you.
That's the new dread. Like I said, well,
all
right, we're going to get off that because I'm
going to
keep going.
And oh, my God. Yep. I have to share this with you and EB. I was almost upset because I had run out of Pinot Grigio, right? So I sent out for I sent out for a bottle of wine. And I was really almost upset because, this person, assistant that I'm about to fire brought back Moscato. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. But since I did try a little bit, it's a little sweet, but you know, here, we'll get through it. All right.
Anyway. what you have? I told you you had some of that juice on that. The juice is loose.
The juice is loose.
The one, he already about to get out of jail too, but the old juice about to get out of prison. But Wiz is partaking of his cup, and it's like, the juice is loose. 2.0.
Oh my god.
But go ahead. Evie, what else we got? What else we got? We talk about savvy news.
I'm sure you have a lot.
Did y'all see the Emmys?
I did. I watched some of it. I watched,
I saw some
of the categories with the directors. I'm like real horrible with the names. I was trying to pull it up. Do you have the names pulled up? Cause I can pull it up now.
Donald Glover, he won Best Directing.
Yeah, I saw that.
For Atlanta. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right. Lena Waithe, she won for comedy writing for Master of None.
That is my show. I still haven't watched the second season yet. I got to get on that. The first season is incredible, but I got to watch the second season. I think she won for that Thanksgiving dinner episode. Yeah. I think that's what it said on that, but yeah. Yeah.
And Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us, he's been in everything lately. Insecure, but he won Best Lead Actor in a Comedy Series.
Yeah, I saw that. Who else won? I saw it was funny because when I saw Issa Rae, that was like the biggest thing from the night was they was like, ask her who she was and where she was like, everybody black.
All the black people.
That's crazy how, like, that's most black people's consensus when they watch shows. Like, why are we like that? Like, what is, like, that's a general consensus with, like, we're watching some shows. It's crazy.
It is. I explained it. It's because we like to see each other win. Black, Asian, you know, it doesn't matter. People
right.
of color, general minorities, we like to see each other win.
It's just
the
funny how
so many
right.
people had a problem. So many white people had a problem with her saying that. Is because in their
of course they did.
They equate us rooting for black people as us hating white people because in their mind, they don't know how to root for white people and not hate black people. It's all hate.
Right.
They're afraid of equality. They're afraid of seeing us as equals or as humans. So when we root for the black people, they don't think it's possible for us to do that without doing what they do, which is they root for the white people. But they only do that because they want everybody else to be left behind. I can only speak for myself, and I'm sure I can speak for you and Will as well. We want everybody to win. That's just what we do.
I know, right? And I know I was happy. I know when I watched the Emmys, it's crazy because the only thing I look for, that's probably the one show I'll watch, and it'd be like, all right, I'll be like, time. It should be really a drinking game. I should start like a drinking game with that, like of how long like it takes for them to play the wrap-up music. And I feel like sometimes they'll give like an extra like 2 minutes to like a real famous actor. But if it's somebody like just won their first Emmy, they'd be like, they quick to hit it. And then when Sterling won his, like he was like, oh, y'all just gonna play the music loud? Cause he was like, why you playing the music loud on the black guy? Yep. It was funny cause they did play it loud. That was hilarious. But yeah. He was like, his speech was real good, but yeah, I just be waiting for that. I'm like, all right, y'all need to hurry up and wrap the speech up. They be doing long speeches too. I'm like, wrap this up. Y'all taking too long. And I just be sitting there waiting. I gotta play a drinking game one day and just be like, how long it take. I know I'm gonna be lit. How long it take them to cue that music up and get them off stage. Right. That's the only thing I'd be watching for was that. But yeah, I saw when, Donald Glover won and all the people you mentioned and then it was, some of those, I'm going to be honest, some of those shows I haven't seen. And so the ones that I thought was going to win in those categories didn't, like Anthony Anderson. I think I saw one for a comedy. I don't know specifically what that was for, but I remember Anthony Anderson. And I think, I forgot the other actor that was in there, but I was like, oh, they're going to give it to this one. But they gave it to some other, it was some show I didn't see. But yeah, most of those shows I haven't seen. That I didn't know existed, and some of them won. But I'm like, that's cool, but yeah. I won't ever get upset if I just be rooting for the shows that I've seen
right.
on there. But you never know, like, what the other content is, and so I gotta do better with my variety and start watching different shows. I used to do it all the time, and now I'm, like, too busy to watch them, so I'm gonna try to catch some of this stuff. Hopefully they got on, like, Hulu or something where I can, like, pull up the episodes. But yeah, who else? Oh yeah, I think the only reason why I watched it though was because I told you I'm a music nerd, so the musician in me was like, I would just watch the end of the, for the credits, the music credits, and I was like, cause the band was hitting, the arrangements was crazy. I was like, yo, because they were playing Stevie Wonder and stuff. I'm like, yo, this got to be, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, this got to be a black MD or arranger, because they is hitting on all levels. And then when I checked it, it was like different arrangers. And it was Ricky Minor that was one of the arrangers. And I was like, yo, I knew it, because I could tell his arrangements. Bass player, legend. I think I said that on Facebook. But I was like, that's the only thing I stayed for, was watch those credits. And I was like, yo, I knew it was Ricky. Because it's just, I could just tell sometimes. But yeah, that's music nerd stuff. But yeah, I only watched for that. I didn't really watch the whole thing. I think I caught like maybe the last 30
minutes
of it.
Yeah, I only watched bits and pieces. I did see Tyson and Anika do their whatever. Yo,
oh yeah, I saw that.
Like,
yeah.
387 years old and she still looks amazing. How is that possible?
Did you say 387?
She is 387 years old.
I think she got nervous. I watched that. She had got nervous going into reading her, and then Anika helped her. I thought that was pretty cool. How she helped her read her lines on
the
teleprompter.
Was Anika whispered something in her ear, and Sisley was like, "Huh? What'd you say?" Like all in the mic. It was hilarious. I was dying.
Only you would find that funny. I did not laugh through that whole moment because I was like, "Oh, this is our elder." You just like going all. See, I'll be saying the listeners think it's all me. I told y'all. He was slowly but surely is starting to tell on himself. He getting real comfortable and telling on himself now. I told y'all I was gonna come one day.
We find that kind of stuff funny. We do. So my sister was texting me, like we text each other at the same time. What'd you say?
See, there you go. You're not even right for that. That's all you. I'm gonna let you take all of this week. I'm just saying. Look, we didn't switch, we didn't had a, term, we didn't switch, spirits or something. He got my spirit this week. EB got my spirit this week and I got his.
Oh my God, this is too funny. And you know, this Moscato is not too bad. Okay.
Here you go. See, that's what I'm saying. He like, all right, now I got rid of it. We finally stopped now. Now I can get back to my drinking now. Now I ain't got to be on call with this music. I ain't got to cue y'all in and do the engineering. Hey, let me get my drink out because y'all didn't, this was too much work doing this show.
You know what?
I got to get my drink out.
But actually, you know, I have the music on point tonight, right now.
You did, man. Shout out to Will, man, for getting this music. He's been consistent past few weeks of getting his music out and getting us in and out of breaks. I think he went to get his Pinot one day when Haley was on. When we had our guest Haley on, I think he went to go get the Pinot. He went to the liquor store real quick to go get that. But other than that.
Yeah, see, you didn't get my
awkward
text.
That awkward pause in there. He's been on straight with the producers.
Yeah. Well, you know, you didn't get my text. You need to check your text messages because sometimes you see, I say I'm going to break for 15, right? And you don't get those until the next day. You know, so I understand.
I check them. I just read them. I don't answer it back. Sometimes I answer back okay, but I get so caught up in the conversation, I won't be answering back.
Right.
You be gone. I'm like, and you'll text me when you come back. I see it. I just answer back. You just want the confirmation to see how long you can stay gone. That's it. You just be like, okay, how long is it going to take me to go to the store so I can sit down and enjoy this?
No,
she ain't answer back. I guess I could stay over here and drink this Pinot.
I just want to feel needed.
Feel needed. You feel needed with that Moscato, apparently. You didn't switch it up this week. What else we got, EB? What else you got?
Escape is going on tour with Tamar Braxton and Monica.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
Ticket prices is kind of high. It's kind of outrageous, but.
But they're performing at theaters, though. That makes sense.
Right. But I'm like,
they're doing theaters in
arenas.
Theaters in what's the other one? Arenas, that's the word I was on. I think they're performing at some arenas. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean to just be coming back, it seems like they're doing, you know.
But that's a big ticket though. For that price of ticket, you get Tamar, you get Escape, they doing all their hits, you get Escape, you get Tamar and Monica. Like, they all got hits. Well, I don't know about Tamar. Tamar probably is going to open. Probably be an opener. Because they got
Because I know for sure Monica has way more hits. She's been in it since the 90s. So Escape,
right.
I don't know. I don't know who would headline. I think Escape would headline.
Oh,
they should hold headline because they got a lot of hits. Monica, Monica has two. I think, but yeah, I think it should be Tamar opening it, then Monica, then Escape. But they might have, I don't know if they might have like somebody, you know, like that opening, they might have somebody open certain, yeah, or like somebody to just jump on, like somebody like, I was about to throw out the Boone's Farm of music, but I ain't gonna do that. We not even gonna put a name to it, cause I don't wanna be disrespectful, but
disrespectful.
We had a great guest, so I'm not gonna do that, but, what's somebody popular right now that's pop, like Lettucey or somebody like that, they might have like somebody like that pop up on one city tour or something like that.
Album today.
Yeah, so they do, I know for sure sometimes they'll have, if it fits in with their schedule, they'll like have them pop up at certain cities.
Right.
They'll jump on certain people's tours. So that's a good look though. I wouldn't mind paying, I think, whatever the ticket price is, it's worth it because they all have hits individually. Well, I know Tamar still, even though, like, she has, like, three albums, like, she doesn't count her first album technically as her first album, but she's been in it for a while, but she's just got new success with the reality show with her sisters and stuff like that. But, yeah, she got hits from those last two albums, but it's still new though. But yeah, she definitely got to open.
She has
to open because Monica been out here since like the 90s. So yeah, she definitely got to open and let them, the legends, go live. So yeah. What else going on?
Other than that, I mean, the whole VH1 Hip Hop Honors.
Oh yeah, I actually did watch that. I didn't catch it when it came on because like I said before, the fragments of my soul was in the bathroom, so I was real worried about that and sleeping every day, trying to get my sleep in. So I caught it, I think, the next day. I think I recorded it and caught one of the replays and recorded it, and I watched it the next day. It was okay. I didn't understand some of the mix-ups, I mean, some of the choices for some of these singing, like Ty, like he's really good, but I was like, I thought it was random that they had him singing Montel Jordan songs, and I know he's from Cali, I guess they were trying to get that connection with him, but yeah, that was cool. I think I was real hyped when Trick Daddy and Trina came out. That was, because I was, what, y'all already know, I've got a hood rat cousin in me, so that's all the music I grew up on. Back in the day.
No,
what? 90s?
Tiana Taylor.
Oh my God. That was crazy.
Her foot.
I didn't notice it at first. Cause I was like, what is that colorful thing on her foot? And then I was like, oh, that's a boot. I didn't even realize it was a boot until like a little bit later. I was like, oh, that's a boot on her foot. But yeah, she was killing all those 90s dances, playing LO's, Around the Way Girl and mixing it up with Rump Shaker and shout out to DJ Clue. I hope that was his mix.
Yeah.
That was dope. That was a dope mix.
DJ Clue, shout
but
out.
Yeah, what else? No Limit little thing with Silk the Shopper. I said Silk the Shopper with a PP on it. Silk the Shopper. That's how he lets you know I don't care nothing about what he got going on. That was underwhelming as hell, because what was that? They didn't have, like, and it's so messed up that Mystical is, like, going through a whole different rape case now. Because I was like, if he would have came out and did his verse, I would have lost it. He had the best verse in Make Him Say, He's like, if he would have came out, I would have lost it. But, yeah, that was underwhelming. I was like, I was thinking the whole time when they was rapping, I was like, yo, Simpson Shopper still can't rap on beat. What is going on? This ain't even his song, and he ain't rapping on beat.
Always.
So the funniest tweet still to this day, I'm still laughing at the person that said the Silk the Shocker raps like he reading a text message. That is still the funniest tweet I've ever seen, because that is absolutely true. I'm like, how is it 20 plus years later and you still rap off beat? What is going on? I was like, he is off beat.
20 years on your own.
Oh my God. Oh, and I think Escape performed after them. They were cool. They were feeling themselves. I was like, that was cool. I think they performed long enough doing these little right. Do the tours. I mean, before this big one, they had enough time to warm up to be used to it.
Right.
They was gathered. I was just more feeling, I didn't really care if they were hitting their notes, because I knew they were, but it was just how they were jamming. I was digging that more,
right.
To, like, how they were, like, they didn't seem as nervous. Like, they looked comfortable. I'm like, okay, I'll see y'all. Okay. And what else? There was a lot of people performing. It was, like I said, the Ty Dolla $ign, I thought that was random, but I was like, it was cool for what it was.
Prodigy, Fabulous.
Yes! Oh, my God, I was going to...
Be quiet somewhere.
Oh, my God. That was my favorite one.
Yeah.
When Kim came out, now y'all was wrong on the internet. The internet's crazy. Somebody was like, they had like the video with her dancing, and they was like, whenever you doing squats with the dumbbell, and it gets too heavy, you try to take it off. I was like, man, y'all gotta get out of here for this. But yeah, that was hilarious. We didn't run out of time.
What's the music?
Will just gave us the Oscar music. What's going on? He gave us the Emmy music.
Because you know you're going overtime. Yes.
You got us over overtime. If you wouldn't ran and waited for 15 minutes, we would have had 15 minutes.
Okay, I tell you what.
Ran and waited, using up our time, talking about people taking free on. He didn't play the Wrap It Up music on us. Like we had the Emmys.
That was pretty good, huh? That was pretty good, huh?
Hilarious.
Was that good?
No, it wasn't. We were having a time if you took us 20 minutes to talk about Trump. That's all I'm trying to tell you, to hurry up, EB. Because I knew he was going to soak up all the time like he did the other week.
Oh, man.
I was like, I knew he was going to do that. Blame yourself for it, because you the one was talking for 20 minutes. We just sitting there listening to you. So I'll try to figure out when we're going to go to the next segment. We were waiting on you. Okay. I was like, let him keep waiting. Let him keep going.
You know,
blame yourself for it then.
No, it's no blame. I love this show. This is the most outrageous, hilarious show probably anywhere across the globe.
You know, it's not even that. We're not even as long as we was last week, because we went, that show was as long as Roots.
Last week, yeah,
Roots. Like, that show was long as hell. So I hope y'all check that out on the website, because that took me forever to edit that. I'm like, God, y'all. I'm like, it took me like 2 days to edit that. I'm like, I hope y'all appreciate that. And shout out to all the people that's been checking out the shows and stuff. We trying to keep growing, but I just want to finish. Can we wrap up that? Because I still want to talk about
a little bit,
and then we can get to it.
You know,
wrap up as soon as we get to talk about that.
I just had to do that. No, you're good. I just had to do that.
Hilarious. He played the Wrap It Up Emmy music on us.
I know. That was good, huh?
No, it wasn't good. Threw everything off.
Q-Lin, don't play with me.
No, my mind go come and go. Have to stop trying to. You know, I got ADD.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right.
All right. Can we finish talking about it? My memory, because I forgot what I was going to talk about. Now you keep pulling it up on me. I forgot who we were going to talk about. Who else did you like on that show? On the Hip Hop Honors.
This is good.
That was
all that I really saw. I know. Lili from SWV and T-Boz, they both had an issue with the show.
Lili from, why? Oh, because
they
weren't there?
They said it was basically a popularity contest. Almost along the lines of what Karen White was saying earlier about why they had Fantasia singing Superwoman on TV. Like, they were like, well, Escape is, like, doing a big thing right now, so of course they would have them, but they didn't have SWV or TLC, and it was about 90s Game Changers, so...
Right, because they were game changers. I know for sure SWV, they had a lot of hits. They were loved a lot, too, for Grammys and stuff like that. But,
yeah, they really were.
Like when you mentioned Mobb Deep, that was my favorite one for the night, because that is my joint. That is the best hip-hop, one of my top favorite hip-hop productions right there. Rest on the Prodigy, that was a great tribute.
Yeah. And then
I didn't know how to feel about Fabulous, but I was like, okay, I guess he did that verse okay. But yeah, when Kim came out, I was rocking with it. I was like, okay, girl, you coherent and everything, and know your rap lines. Okay, girl. Gonna go.
Who the hell is that?
I'm here for it. Oh man, you. Five, you like the guy with the little gun. That one went through though.
That's it.
You came with that one, that heater right
there.
Oh my God, here you go. See, I told y'all. What else? Yeah, when Warren G came out, I was like, yep, that's my joint right there. Regulate. That's the joint. I didn't understand. Oh yeah. Oh, I didn't forgot about Missy. Oh my God, she came in and shut it down. She did the recreation of her music video and had all her backup dancers, the music video. Hype Williams, like the Hype Williams video. Oh my God. And then he did his own little montage of videos of all his compilation of videos. And then he played the acapella of Soul to Soul, the lead singer of Soul to Soul. Rest on to her. I know she's.
Right. I mean,
Caribou. And he did a little tribute to her. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the joint. But yeah, that's it. I was like, it was underwhelming at best, but it was like only a few that I liked. Like I said, the beginning, and then it was really the Mobb Deep one that I really liked. But yeah, the rest of it was like, okay. It was cool.
Yeah,
cool
take it away.
But yeah, I'm glad we talked about that because I didn't have no topic for this week. I was just glad for that interview. That interview is like a good,
amazing
like,
interview.
It was everything. It was like a lullaby. It rocked me to sleep. I'm ready to go. And it's just everything is perfect after that. So I was like, I didn't have anything to talk about.
Really?
After that interview, I'll have nothing to talk about.
But really? You had nothing to talk about, yet you went over another, 11 minutes? 11 minutes.
No, that was all you. First off, we're going to blame all this on you. So we're not even going to ignore this week. Because I was professional going on to the next segment, and you want to keep jumping in with that Moscato you drinking, and like, okay, let me say one more thing about Trump. We're going to say this. I know y'all got to get the savvy news, but we're going to talk about Trump for 20 minutes. Let's do this. So we done already talked about him, but we're going to talk about him some more because I'm frustrated with him. You wanted to do that for 20 minutes. So
how did we do
that? If we went over it, it's your fault.
How did we
because
go?
We was being professional. I don't know. You need to put that Moscato down. I know that. So you made us go over 20 minutes. So I told you I didn't have... you stopped. Listeners, y'all listen back. All y'all gotta do is rewind this audio back, and you gonna see me keep moving on to the segment. And you're like, hold on, another thing with Trump. We gonna get this straight right here with him in North Korea. Let me take another sip of this Moscato and tell y'all how I feel about this. I gotta get some things off my chest. I know I got 7 other shows to do this on, but we gonna do this right here on Soul Sadness Radio. Oh my God, Will is hilarious. Will is like the greatest producer ever. We got a producer that chill and drink on the show every week. This is fantastic.
Hey, guess what?
This is fantastic.
What, you know, I don't know which show I enjoyed more, this week or last week. This
week. Oh my God, last week. I'm so glad we skipped Savvy Updates this week because guess what? I deleted all the mics. Anybody that sent them NJ versus Prince comments, I deleted every single clip. I'm not doing this with y'all. I don't care. I don't care no more about this conversation. It is over with and it's done with. I deleted every single one of them. I don't care. I'm done with it.
What do you mean? You deleted mine?
I deleted it. No, I'll talk about the emails.
Anybody who sent
an email talk about that show, Facebook, I'll let that ride. Who cares? Y'all try to get me hyped up on the internet. It ain't working no more, but yeah.
I do it.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Soul Sadness Radio. Me and EB are going to be on every Friday. Our producer as well with his whatever choice of beverage, adult alcohol beverage. This week he has a new one every week we come on. I think Molly Savvy Heathen Talk is people take your vitamins and drink water and just take care of yourselves because that's what I got to do. I got to push that out there. I got to preach that. I got to put that energy on myself because I got to drink water, take care of myself, and rest and get some relaxation going on because, you know, it's been a lot. It's been
pretty busy month, but I'm happy with where I'm progressing at. I've got a lot of great news. I can't wait to share with y'all. But a lot of stuff, you know, you got to keep under wraps because I won't be that person that's always saying, like, oh, I got this going on, and then it don't happen. So it's going to happen. I'll say that. It's great stuff. I can't wait to share with y'all because I got some good stuff in the works, some projects that I'm working on that I got the green light for, and I can't wait to share with y'all. So, yeah, that's the only Savvy Heathen talk, man. Take care of yourselves and drink water and vitamins. And take care of yourself. What you got, E.B.? What's your Savvy Heathen talk?
And Pinot Grigio.
That's his Savvy Heathen talk, is Pinot Grigio. What's your E.B.?
Man. Y'all just respect each other out here, man. Respect each other, treat each other well, and you will be treated well. That's all I got.
All right.
Man, we got, and also I want to announce we got a special guest coming on next week. I can't wait to announce it. Y'all look out for that this week. It's a musician. I can't wait to give y'all make sure y'all follow me on at Kulin Green on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Also, Soul Savviness, SoulSavviness on Facebook and Twitter, and check out the website, soulsavviness.com. And we got a lot of updates coming on about the weeks. We got some great guests coming up for the week, so I can't wait until y'all tune into these shows. Yeah, I got some for you musicians and singers. I know y'all been hitting me up saying that y'all want us to talk about music. We gave y'all some of that magic with the interview with a legend earlier talking about getting y'all want some background vocal that Savvy talk. We gonna give that to y'all. We got these guests we got coming up. We gonna hit y'all with all that music. That music ish. We're gonna hit y'all with all that talk in the next coming week. So, what else you got to say, EB, before we leave?
I mean, as always, social media, EB, the number 4 Prez, EB for Prez, EBforPrez.com. There's a new post up today about Luther Vandross's Forever for Always for Love album. It just turned 35, so go and listen to the album.
Check that out.
About the album, yeah.
Yeah, Soul Savviness Radio people, we air live every Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific Time, 7 to 9 Central Time, and 8 to 10 Eastern Time. Make sure y'all download that app. Tell your aunties, your cousins, your sister, your stepbrothers, your step-uncles, your stepsisters, everybody. Anybody in your family, friends, tell everybody you know, download that IMDb app.
It's Mr. Everybody.
See you, folks.
All right. EB. Kulin Green. Wow. What a show. This has been the Soul Savviness Show here live on Studio WD Buzz. This is becoming my favorite show. Who knows what's going to happen? But I also like to lay a disclaimer. Studio W and me, CEO William A. Brown, we're not responsible for the language that Kulin Green may say on her
show. Oh my God. All these fake stories. These fake news he likes spreading. It's fake news. Don't listen to it, y'all. He endorsed all of this. Endorsed and co-signed all of this.
It's been absolutely fabulous. EB Kulin. I don't know. This might be my favorite show. Hey, love you guys. This has been the Soul Savviness Show here live on Studio W.